Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan and Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
It's summertime, everybody. Welcome to another informative Talent Culture Work Trends podcast and Twitter chat. I want to thank you all, my friends and sponsors and community members, for making all this possible. I'm here at the home office today in Cambridge, and we've got that classic hot and humid summer day. No complaints over here from my angle. Thanks for joining us. Listen, today on Work Trends, we have a very special guest for two reasons. We have my former co-host of T-Chat Talent Culture, Kevin W. Grossman, with us. And we're talking about a really cool topic that's near and dear to my heart and to his as well, candidate experience. Kevin has been really, really busy, and I'm going to have him just say a quick hello in a moment, but we are going to be talking about how measuring candidate data can improve your brand and bottom line as the hiring process heats up for everybody in this July, we hope, along with increasing candidate satisfaction. We're going to kind of unpack some data with you. Welcome to Kevin W. Grossman. For those who may not know Kevin yet, he is the talent board president of the Global Candies Programs. He's responsible for all aspects of the Candidate Experience Awards, Benchmark Research Program, and other activities around the world. He produces and hosts multiple podcasts, including the Candy Shop Talk, Reach West Radio, and Working Tech. He's a longtime HR and recruiting industry influencer and analyst. Working Tech allows Kevin to sort of look at, you know, technology in the world of work, all of the stuff that we're so excited about, right? Humans and technology. He's a certified talent acquisition strategist and human capital strategist. He's got over 18 years of expertise in human resource and talent acquisition, and he's a very well-respected and beloved leader in the recruiting, candidate experience, human resources, and talent management space. I think I'm going to take a breath now. Welcome, Kevin. What's happening?
That's all that stuff I just made up. Just made up? No, I'm kidding.
That's what
hey,
I was wondering.
Thanks,
I'm like,
Megan.
It's not possible you've been doing this long.
No.
And you're like all over the world. And tell us what's happening.
It's like, oh, well, first of all, hi to you and hi to the Work Trends folks. It's been a long time again. And gosh, it just makes me all googly-eyed and reminiscing of the years we spent together on Talent Culture and T-Chat. So thanks for having me on. Definitely. It's awesome.
It seems like old times. And, you know, the good news for you and I is we still get to see each other all the time, right, at these wonderful events. I know you and I are both going to be at the HR Tech Conference. We were just talking about that in the fall.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm still
and
involved with the Talent Board, which is pretty cool.
Right.
And hopefully, what else?
Council.
Are we going to see each other sooner?
Well, I'm hoping we can get you to the North American Candy Symposium and Awards Gala. That's happening, and I'm giving that kind of a quick plug for everybody listening. It's a recruiting pro that wants to learn more about the candies and hear some great speakers, and we're doing that on October 2nd in Nashville, and it's the day before
Ooh.
Talent Connect starts. So,
we'll
have to talk offline about getting you there, but you know what I wanted to do is to share a couple of quick fun stats with you, because I know there's, and then we can kind of, I know you got lots of questions for me, but can I do that real quick? Because it's something fun that I do in all the workshops that we've done this year, and as well as a few webinars.
Yeah,
so I've got a
definitely.
I've got a question for you and your audience. The first question,
okay.
I've got three questions for you, and we'll just whip through these real quick. Who has the better candidate experience, older or younger candidates? And that, now, for those keeping score at home, I mean those born before 1982. This is generation-based, so just work with me. It's based on our data. So those born
mm-hmm.
before 1982 are older, and those born after 1982 are younger in this particular context. So What does the audience think? Tell me what you think.
Quick, well, quick I want to hear from everybody.
One.
Yeah,
quick
utilize
well, who do you think
hashtag
has the
work trends, and we'll
yes,
we'll kind of weigh
trends.
In. Let's crowdsource it a little bit. That's a great question. I don't think I'd
so,
back
Megan, what
into
do you
any
think?
Of this data.
What do you think?
Wow,
what's your
I
gut
think
tell you?
Who's weighing in more favorably? Is that what you're saying on their candidate experience?
Yeah, based on our data, but who tells us through the data that they're having overall a better candidate experience, the younger or older? All right, should I tell you?
I just want to guess, just because it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'm going to say older for some really weird reason.
So I thought that too. And we had, this was a special actual deep dive project that we did last summer, and we're going to do it again this summer with 2017 data. It's actually younger candidates.
This is
completely, younger candidates. So again, those born after 1982. And it's significant. It's about 16% overall. They say through our research, they have a better candidate experience. So there could be a lot of reasons under the hood there, but it's definitely younger. Here's another one. Here's another quick one for you. Who has the better candidate experience, managerial or non-managerial candidates?
Non-managerial.
Yeah, I was going to give you a hint. It's related to the first question I just asked, and definitely non-managerial. Overall, about another 16% better candidate experience than managerial. Could be a lot of reasons. One in particular, as you raise in the ranks, for any position, it gets more complex in the job search, and there's more layers and more opportunity for things to go south potentially. That may be one reason.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of hoops for. So the last one, this is a fun one. Women or men, who has the better candidate experience?
Let's see here. That is.
What do you think?
This is tricky, Grossman. I tell you, I'm going to go with women. Females.
So here's the thing. It's not statistically significant, not like the first two that I asked, but you are correct. Women, again, based on our data from North America last year, and we'll see if that trends again later this year when we look at it. 4.4% difference. Not huge, but women say 4% of the time they have a much better overall 4% greater of candidate experience than men. Again, for what it's worth, people can argue that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the data told us. So, there you go.
Well, and you know what, Kevin? It's tough to argue with data. That's what's so cool right now about this whole, data renaissance we've been experiencing the last couple of years. It's like, okay, and my response is okay. Right. I might get back to you if I really want to get geeky and say, well, Kevin, let's break that down a little bit more. Let's talk about, what regions, what globally, this marketplace looks like, how many women versus how many men actually weighed in. But you know what? Data is data. And that's cool stuff, Kevin. Thanks for sharing that. And we're excited to hear from the audience as well. We're going to be, per usual, jumping into the Twitter chat at 1:30 East Coast time, and we'd love to hear from you. But talk to us about what you're up to at the Talent Board. I mean, you're an active member of the talent culture community still, so we can still find you, blogging and on social channels with us. But for those who are just tuning in, just give us a little backdrop on what your role is in some more detail and what we're trying to accomplish. For those of you who know, I'm a volunteer with the Talent Board and really cool stuff going on there. I mean, tell us more.
Sure, absolutely. So this is Talent Board is a nonprofit organization. It was founded in 2011 by three luminaries in the recruiting space, Elaine Orler, Dre Crispin, and Ed Newman. And they continue to be the board that helped me run Talent Board overall. I run the global programs now. I've done it for the past 2 years. And we now have a new fourth board member named Joe Murphy, who's a great guy for those who don't know. He works for Shaker Consulting, virtual job tryout, really good guy and part of our board. But we do survey research every year of employers globally. We ask employers to self-assess what they're doing in recruiting from pre-application to onboarding. And also how they view their own candidate experience. And then in turn, they target a population of candidates, most of whom are rejected candidates per our criteria, at least 80% or greater. And because we find, which we'll talk about later in the show, that's the biggest impact on the brand long term, much more so than the halo effect of being hired. Even if you had a crummy time getting to the door, you're more likely to rate that company higher because you got the job. Anyway, so that's and so it's the employer and candidate research that we do every year, and we have lots of activities throughout the year, workshops and webinars and events like the one I referenced for October 2nd. In Nashville and around the world as well, in EMEA and APAC. And the survey is open right now, too. The companies can still participate this year. We're kind of running out of time in North America, but there is still time, for sure. So, and around the world.
What do people need to do for brands that want to play in the sandbox with us? What can they do to go find where they can become involved with us?
So they can do one of two things. They can reach out to me directly, either online here on Twitter, via LinkedIn. My email is kevin.grossman@thetalentboard.org. And then also go to our site, thetalentboard.org is our site, and that's where all the information is. And again, there's still plenty of time, but I always love to talk shop, whether a company wants to participate this year or not, love to talk about what they're doing when it comes to candidate experience and getting feedback. So That's what we do.
Let's talk a little bit. Thank you, Kevin. I want to talk a little bit about measuring candidate feedback.
Sure.
To me, that's the very interesting piece that's happening right now. I know you and I are both very focused on HR tech and how it's used. Tell us more about what's the right technology to use for this and how it can provide better info versus, say, manually measuring feedback old school style.
Well, my first recommendation is that you're going to want to use a survey tool of some kind. And you could either participate in a program like ours, of course, which I've been plugging, with the Benchmark Research Program, and or use a third-party survey tool. And that could be SurveyMonkey, it could be Qualtrics, it could be our new data management partner that we have, which is Surveil, which has also been a longtime sponsor of ours. And now we'll help manage our surveys going forward, because being a nonprofit, we're not going to develop our own technology. We're going to partner with those that in the space, and Surveil does, that's what they do. They're in the business of doing survey research for both candidate and employees. But you got to have a tool first. You got to be able to
mm-hmm.
put some questions together in a survey platform, distribute those survey links to a population that you're looking to get responses back from. And that's the first step. Not a lot of questions, though. We ask a lot of questions in our research, but that's for a different kind of a program. If companies are looking for kind of pulse reaction of, listen, I know we just rejected you at this stage in the process, but we'd love to get your feedback on what that experience is like so we can make it better. That's what's happening today. That's the trend that's happening. 3 to 5, maybe a few more questions max for those kinds of surveys. Those are my first recommendations. You got to get a platform and focus on a targeted group of questions that are getting feedback ratings, Likert scale, NPS.
I hope everyone's listening to this because it's not expensive. Even if you're a small brand, you don't have a big budget, you can still create your own and ask that question. This is why I'm so passionate about it, right? As a former practitioner in the recruiting space, it's just a painful experience for so many job seekers. And I love the fact that more and more recruiters and practitioners are just saying, stop the madness. We don't need to get fancy here. We just need to start communicating. It's never too late to ask, how was your experience, you know, right? It's all about asking that question.
Well, and here's a quick important point. And you've talked to a lot of practitioners and employers even still today. And one thing that you hear is that we're just not ready to do that. We're not ready feedback, or you know, we're worried about what we're going to hear, or we just don't think we have the time or the resources. It's like any initiative that you take on. You do need to have somebody needs to manage it. You've got to be able to identify and you know, whether you're using your ATS, your CRM, you have to be able to distribute that survey to that targeted group of folks. Maybe you're partnering with marketing to do that on a MailChimp or another email service provider. you've got to be able to take that step. But the first step of awareness is to know, so you know what works and what doesn't. You've got to be able to get that, because you may think that you've got a damn fine interview process overall, and then you start
right.
getting feedback surveys back, and you're starting to hear things that you didn't know were happening in your interview process, and hiring managers are canceling appointments and not showing up, and things are getting moved around.
Yeah.
All these things that are disruptive to that person that may or may not be right for your job, but they're going to take that negative experience away with them,
mm-hmm.
and may or may not ever do anything with you again, apply again, whatever the case is, which we'll talk about a little bit. But that's why it's important to, you know, take the first step of saying, like, we want to know what works and what doesn't, so we can double down on what works and we can improve on what doesn't. Because it's a constant
just being honest, you know, just getting honest.
Absolutely.
With this is so important. You know, because people are going to talk. They're going to tweet it. They're going to blog about it, right? If they've got a bad brand experience, you will hear about it somehow. And it's better to take control of that now, you know, and show that you care. It's not even – it's just about caring, right? Talk to me a little bit about this idea of having a strategic consumer-based approach to recruiting. What is this about? Talk to us about what that means.
So this relates to the potential business impact on your brand and on your business based on how you're treating candidates. And there's the trend that we've seen, and even I think even probably before the talent board was developed, but certainly since, I think I like to say that we've had some impact on this. Organizations are recruiting organizations within the bigger companies realize have made finally the definitive statement that the candidate is their customer for recruiting, not necessarily for the business. Although if you're a consumer-based business and you're in retail and hospitality and other industries, a lot of your candidates are your customers and vice versa, especially at the store level, right? So that is really the first step, is making that definitive leap that, okay, candidates are our customers. So if we take a customer service approach, what are we doing with the services and stuff that we're selling? How are we addressing our customers on those fronts? We need to mirror that on the candidate side. And a lot of it really, Megan, simply has to do with consistent communication and feedback loops. That's a huge differentiator again and again. And it doesn't even take that much, but it's enough to make a difference where, at least as a candidate, I know where I'm at. I know when you stop pursuing me. Acknowledgement and closure are at a minimum, right? Those are the things that companies need to look at your candidates as customer, and that starts to change the way you do recruiting.
Yeah. It's a mindset. It totally is. I get it, you know, and I think everyone else is starting to see that we're people, you know. Everyone deserves to be treated with a certain sort of level of respect and dignity, especially in the job search process when people are feeling possibly uneasy or uncertain about their own futures. I think emotions run high at that point. And when that happens, dot, dot, dot. Speaking of dot, 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 Kevin, what have you seen? I mean, I know, you know, I've been blogging and tweeting about the fact that, you know, people need to wake up. Brands need to be aware that job seekers can, you know, guide their own communication on any social platform they feel like at any given time. What is the data or case studies portrayed when you've looked at how employer brands suffer when the candidate experience is poor? What have you seen?
So what we see in the data, and this is globally now, not just in North America, as through last year, and then we'll see how that shapes up this year, although the trends are the same, which I'll highlight in a sec. But so one of the questions we ask the candidates is, based on your experience with this employer, because again, remember, this is targeted research for the employers that participate. Based on your experience going through the hiring process, how likely are you to change your relationship with this organization, your business relationship? So, and it's a 4-point behavioral NPS score, and it goes from great candidate experience, I will increase my relationship, which means I'll apply again, I'll refer others, which is critical, and I'll buy stuff if you're a consumer-based business. The other side of that is, I'll definitely not and I'll sever my relationship with that organization based on having a horrible candidate experience. That's the extremes on that scale, right? And when we correlate it with those candidates that have an overall candidate experience Likert scale rating of 1, which is horrible, and 5, which is great, here's the numbers. 64% of the candidate experience will say they'll increase the business relationship. They'll apply again, they'll refer others, they'll buy stuff. That is, again, time and again, that's global data, past 6 years. The other side of that, and that's a good thing, is that what you want. The other side of that is 41% of the candidates that have a horrible candidate experience overall will sever the business relationship. And even if a fraction of them say actually put their money where their mouth is, that could be significant referrals as well as a potential revenue loss, either immediate because you're a consumer business or eventually because you don't have the referrals that you would have had otherwise. And a perfect case study, which wasn't part of our program, but it's been well documented and shared quite a bit, is that Virgin Media one from about a year and a half ago, where they documented their own impact and quantified it and were willing to share it with the public, which a lot of companies are not comfortable doing.
Most
if they're a public company. But this one did. Virgin Media said that they lost upwards of 4.4 billion pounds because they're a British company. Because due to poor customer service. But then when they flipped it, they turned it around and improved it and added 5 billion to their docket by improving just that candidate experience overall and the impact on their business. Companies across the board in our research programs are quantifying this now. And I can't quote some of them exactly, but I can tell you it's millions of potential dollars every year out the window because of that. And this year, just in North America, the last thing to underscore for you real quick, it's even a greater range. So just in North America, 44% of candidates says they'll sever the business relationship based on a horrible experience. And the better, it's now gone to 74% so far in the returns that we've received this year right now. So it's already, that gap is getting wider. So it's yours to win or lose, period.
Wow. And guess who looks like the coolest brand in the world? The brand that was transparent enough to say, hey, this is our process. We're willing to share with the world what we're up to, right?
Yeah.
They're the cool kids on the block. I mean, come on. We know it's out there.
Yeah. Sure. But the good news, though, is that the companies are looking at this, and they are making the business case internally that they have to make 1, 2, or 3 incremental adjustments to processes, to technologies, to their own teams, in order to improve that and improve the positive impact on your business. Think about this for a minute. Everybody out there in Work Trends land knows, and we've all been candidates, we've all applied for jobs. The fact of the matter is that we take those experiences with us for life, right? And
we're all
the time. So it does really make a tremendous amount of impact. At any given time, an opportunity can turn our head. But when we are part of the 99 out of 100 that don't get the job, it's already a negative sentiment baked into the pie, right? Because it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah,
to
there's
be told
winners
that
and
you're
losers,
not getting the job.
Right? There's the winner, and there's a lot of losers along the way.
Exactly.
And that itself is not easy for people, and it's not easy for brands. When I was a recruiter, it was never fun giving that news, and I was always the one giving the news, right? And you had to really be thoughtful about how you deliver this feedback, right?
Right.
And my job
exactly.
was to not make people go home and feel like, you know, they're nothing and they have no talents, and to ensure that the brand that I'm representing at any given moment, you know, is seen as a brand that's, you know, a decent place to work, if not fabulous, we hope, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
Talk to us, when we start getting into ATS and applicant tracking systems and HR, that sort of tech part of all this, how does an organization's ATS actually impact the candidate experience in positive and negative ways? Because I'm seeing more and more really interesting tech that is baking in some pretty cool branding features around this. So talk to us about that.
Well, I think what you're seeing, and without, you know, calling anybody out because there's a lot of great brands and platforms that are, well, no, but I mean, that are sponsors of ours too, that are doing some pretty cool innovative things. But I mean, not to point positive or negative fingers either way. One thing, it's really all about how it's being used, right? Because most platforms today, especially some of the newer ones on the block, they have some pretty amazing features of helping companies build in to their career sites as well. And, you know, responsive design career site. So no matter what device I'm on, playing, you know, being able to stream videos on the career site and via even on the job video job descriptions, for example, that can be plugged into the ATS and plugged into the career site. I mean, I think, you know, there's a story that I always like to tell. There's a woman who applied, it was one of our workshops a year ago, who applied, took 2.5 hours online, and it didn't take that long usually, but she took that time because she was making sure she did it right, saved her progress, was applying online, had already networked into the company, but she still had to finish the application online, right, via the career site. So she does it, hits submit, and what do you think happened?
Oh, no.
Got an immediate rejection notice. Like within 30 seconds.
Oh, bummer.
So that's, and, you know, that's not the ATS's fault per se. That's the company utilizing the system, because they could have set that to fire at 24 hours or 48 if they had auto screening set in the platform, right? So that's a negative thing that can be adjusted for, though. That platforms are that malleable and configurable today. I can make sure that I'm setting these things up, and I can have a myriad of personable auto communication set up depending on who's applying for what, being dispositioned where. That's the beauty of it today. That, and what we're seeing, the last thing real quick I'll point out is the trend, which is great too, is that the systems themselves are, and the employers are allowing more people in the door at the front end. So it's the application process has gotten more and more compressed to like 15, 10, 5 minutes even.
Right.
But it's because they've got their systems, their ATSs, for example, and other screening and assessment tools baked in behind the door so that I let more people in, but I've got back-end systems set up so that I'm streaming them in a proper way and down to certain various pipelines, whether that's, again, an assessment, a recruiter that needs to screen, or they're automatically moved into buckets because of keywords. Whatever that case is, a lot of the ATSs today can do a tremendous amount of back-end heavy lifting when set up correctly, and that's what's happening today with organizations.
And keep in mind, that lady that you were just talking about, she took herself out of that queue at that point. She's done.
Yes,
she's
she
on
did.
To her
and
next
she would,
quest. You know,
yes,
it's hard,
she
to,
would
it's
never,
hard to recover from that.
She'll never apply for that company again, she said, ever. So, I mean, whether
well, listen,
she does or not.
You know,
Yeah.
No, it's done, right? It's all about
exactly.
Perception and human emotion and those things coming together. Listen, my friend, we're down to 2 more minutes. This time is flying today. So
it
tell
does.
Us, tell us about the research in regards to candidates that are not hired but have a great experience with the brand where they applied. This, to me, is very interesting.
Well, it's what I iterated a little bit earlier in the show is the fact that most of the time, remember, you reject a candidate, there's already a negative sentiment but when you have treated them fairly, you've set expectations properly, you consistently communicate, you even ask for feedback besides providing as much feedback that you can. These are all things, and you ask for feedback, you're giving them a voice to express themselves in the process. These are all things that relate to a body of research around perceived fairness, right? So that already helps to kind of negate some of the negativity felt because you rejected me, and I'm not going to get the job. You rejected me as a professional, not as a person. That's another thing that companies are trying to do a better job at. And that makes all the difference in the world. So, again, that goes back to the potential business impact. So if you treat me more fairly throughout, and we've seen the open-ended answers in the comments questions in our research that, you know what, I'm bummed I didn't get the job, but you were clear with me. So I appreciate that. I mean, it's just
it's
as simple as that. And that person is going to apply again probably or refer others. So.
Kevin, thank you so much for taking time out today for us. You are doing some exciting things. We want to continue to hear about the updates and the research. Thank you. Anything you want to close with in the last 30 seconds? And then we're going to take this conversation over to Twitter.
Yeah, just go to thetalentboard.org, folks, if you'd like to either participate in the research or come to our event in Nashville on October 2nd or anything else globally that we're doing. So there you go.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.